Nothing to it, folks. Good evening. Salud. Chindan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jilly's West. Where do you eat meat to eat? And if I rhyme that, this'll be a barn in the morning. I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you. I can't say the same for Mr. Basie and myself, because we run into a streak of bad luck. Sunday, we went up to the Grand Canyon, and it was closed. And last year, we invested a bundle of money in a pumpkin farm, and then they called off Halloween. And when I told that to Sapphire, she said, "You're going around with that bum again. That's what's the matter with you." Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to explain, or at least beg your forgiveness for any inconveniences about the hotel because of the rebuilding that's going on. Some of the corridors are not complete, and there have been little pipes leaking here and there, but that's the way it goes when you rebuild, and every hotel has had to do that. But it's very expensive, obviously, you know, to build a day per square foot. It's like $25 or $30 per square foot. Consequently, this whole changeover we had, it was about $11-12 million. We got $3 million from the local bank and $8 million from the cocktail waitresses who work around outside. Now, to get back to the building, and at the moment there ain't no place else to go. They've developed, I understand, some marvelous decor in the suites up there, and now Jack tells me they're going to have plaques put on some of the doors. For instance, the Danny Thomas suite, just to kind of glamorize it a little bit, Red Skelton suite. And the one for Dean, he decorated himself. It's just gutter to gutter. There's no furniture in it. Just straight across the room. He likes it that way, folks. You see, Mr. Martin falls in the street a lot. You're not too sure, so don't get mixed up in it, folks. The question most asked of me is, does Dean Martin really drink? Well, I can attest to that fact. He's a drunk. He is an absolutely unqualified drunk. And if we ever develop an Olympic drinking team, he's going to be the coach. With Toots Shaw and Jackie Gleason involved and me bringing up the rear end. I would say roughly that Dean Martin has been stoned more often than the United States embassies. I'm not too sure whether you applauded for Dean or we should stone some more embassies. I don't know about this group here, you know. I'll tell you one thing about Dean Martin. When you go to his home in Beverly Hills for an evening's fun, he holds real steadfast to one rule. There's no drinking after dinner. Of course, you don't eat till 3:30 a.m., but there's no drinking after dinner. How the hell can you drink when you land flat on your back in the joint, you know? Then his mother-in-law, Peggy, picks you up and rolls you into the dining room. They also have a big dog who does that. And Dean is very, very wonderful about his family, particularly, let's say, you know, everybody makes jokes about their mother-in-law. Not Dean, he loves Peggy. He gave her for Christmas a two-story, six-bedroom house, but the sheriff keeps closing it down every Saturday. He walks up and closes it down. This guy just ain't broad-minded, that's all. And I picked the cast myself. And when we finished the first phase of the, which is damn near complete now, the second phase is redoing this Copa room here. Larger stage, more capacity. And Mr. Entrada, to show you the class of the thinking of this hotel, they're closing Golden Boy to bring Sammy Davis in here for 4 solid weeks just to clean. I saw Sammy's first television show. I'd like to make one comment on that show. There's a lot I can make, but I want to make one comment on this show. Sammy Davis wrote a book called Yes, I Can. And when I saw that show, I sent him a wire and said, no, you can't. Now, I guess that you folks have heard or read or have been told somewhere that recently I became 50 years old, and I'm here to tell you right now it's a dirty communist lie. Direct from Hanoi. It came right out of there. My body may be 50, but I'm 28. And I would further like to say that I'd be 22 if I haven't spent all those years drinking with Joey Lewis, who nearly wrecked me. Remember the words of Joey Lewis, who said, a friend in need is a pest. And you think about that when you go to bed and to break you up later on. And if you do think about that when you go to bed, you shouldn't be allowed to go to bed. However, folk, I'm a Sagittarian. I was born on December 12, 1915, and I was born a very skinny kid. Little kid, skinny. So skinny, my eyes were single file. Between those two and my belly button, my old man thought I was a clarinet. You see, Charlie, a clarinet, you put your finger on the hose like this, you see? Oh, gee. Where'd you come from, the Yellow Pages or Sears and Roebuck? And I was born in this tenement house in Hoboken, New Jersey, and it was a walk-up, 8 floors. And it was one of those places, they're going to have elevators in 1915. Otis wasn't even born yet, I think, when I had this house. And we never knew we were going to have any lights, any food, any heat of any type, mice running around. Funny part of it is my folks were very wealthy. They just aided me, that's all. They gave me the loyalty test immediately. And eventually, I managed to fight my way through the qualms and traumas of life, and I got to grow up to be 16 or so. And I was about ready to get out of high school about a few months before. My father was called into the school by the principal for about the 700th time. And he said to my dad, here's the diploma, get him out. That's what he do say, get him out. I must explain to you that when we walked out and stood on the steps of the high school, my father said to me, and I must first mention the fact that my father is a Rutgers graduate and he majored in English. And he said to me, what the hell is the matter with you? What's the matter, you don't want to learn nothing? He was great with English, he spoke beautifully. He also had an ear like this, a chungamir, see? That was my mother who gave him that from yelling at him all the time. So he said to me, he knew I wanted to get in show business, and he said, he gave me the alternative, as all parents did in those days. You want to be a bum in show business, you want to get a real job. So I figured, well, what the heck, he's my dad, I love him, and I'll go along with his idea. So he got me a job. You know what a thrill it is to get a hernia for $62.50 a week, lifting crates of 600 pounds with another little guy with a hand truck? Well, he got me another job in a shipyard, Todd's Shipyards, and I was a rivet catcher in the hold of a ship. But the guy throwing him was a real jagad. He was a cuckeye, like this. He couldn't hit a bull in a fanny with a bag of rice, this bum. And I cleaned that up. Well, no sense in trying to explain it. It hurried my career into show business. I quit right away. Gave in my union button with the peak cap and the leather jacket, and I walked out right away. That's exactly what I had. And I packed my little straw case and went to New York, and that was it. I even bummed a ride on a ferry. And, you're not listening too well, folks. Anyway, I got together a quartet, see? And we were called the Hoboken Four. And in those days, there was a very big radio program on called Major Bowes, Major Edward Bowes. Now, Ted Mack today in television is a spinoff of the original radio show because he used to work for Bowes. And Bowes used to come on the air and he'd say, the wheel of fortune spins round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. That was the dullest opening I ever heard on any radio show. Wait a minute now. He was a pompous bum with a bulbous nose. He used to drink Green River. He was a big drunk, this guy. I don't know if you ever heard of Green River, but it takes the paint off your deck if you got a boat. 59 cents a gallon, baby. Anyway, we were a big hit on the show, the Hoboken Four, and he kept bringing us back, but he had to change the name, obviously, because it was a legitimate amateur show, except it wasn't. So he brought us back as the Newark Nightingales, the Teaneck Teen Tones, the Secaucus Cockamamies. It's a touching name, isn't it? The Bayonne Bacalas was the one that killed me. Listen, I'll hold it up till you get back if you want, buddy. I'll kind of linger a little bit. The way you're walking, 8 to 5, you don't get there in time. He's walking sideways like this. Well, that was just a small summation of my career, which is very dull. And I must say, I had a marvelous time in this career of mine up till now. And I don't plan to stop either, by the way. I mean, having a marvelous time. Because, thank you. I must say seriously that what with the enthusiastic followings that have followed through the years, all the way up to now, the buying of records, the watching of television shows and seeing the movies, that's all important to me, and it's all gratifying to me as far as you are all concerned. Now, I'm not trying to get hokey about this, but it's true. That's what helps make it a good career. Now, I don't care where you go. That's the dullest speech you're ever going to hear the rest of your life. You know what I mean?